Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Why? Best in the business. Auto, home, life, business, whatever it may be. Number one, what's the job of your insurance agent? They want to make sure that whatever insurance you get, well, they want to make sure that you're covered. All right, that's one. Number two, because the customer comes first, they want to make sure you're not getting ripped off in the process. So they find you the best price. If you can go over state lines to do it, they'll do it. And then if something happens to you or suddenly you need the insurance, which is why you have it, you have your advocate there. And that's your insurance agent. Purdy Insurance, they're the best in the business. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
Right point for Simpson. Simpson against Ayala. Waits for the screen. It never comes. Drives, kick out, Teske wants the three. Got it! Oh, that was huge! The first of the day for John Teske. He's got 21 triples on the year. Michigan has their largest lead. It's nine. It's for either team. 58-49.
Matt Shepard with the call on the Michigan Radio Network as Michigan went to College Park yesterday, and without Charles Matthews in the lineup, they were able to win the game at Maryland. That call courtesy of Learfield IMG College. Yes, now Michigan's a part of the family. But Matt Shepard, by the way, congratulations to Matt, the new radio voice of the Detroit Tigers as well. Way to go. Good guy. I like Matt a lot. So that was the win yesterday. So I'll stay with the basketball theme, then we'll get back to football here in a moment. We talked about beginning with the combine and what we saw at the combine. We talked about Trace, Amani, talked about Miles Sanders, talked about Sharif Miller. I mean, we've talked a lot of people. Brian Bates, by the way, had a really good Friday, too. Watching that in Wisconsin about Ryan's combine day, did really well. I'm not surprised with any of that. And Ryan was ready to come out. We knew it. So we talked about that. We got into briefly on Jim Delaney. We'll stick with the basketball part here for a moment. Penn State's game at Wisconsin on Saturday. I know there's going to be a lot of, okay, let's talk about the last call. I'll get to that in a moment. Where Penn State ended up not winning the game was actually between the under 16 and the under 12. I know it's very easy to sit there and concentrate on the last 4 minutes of a game. And there's no doubt that, you know, you make mistakes in those last 4 minutes. There's no getting around that, especially the shooting part. I mean, you know, Penn State, we know, is 0 for its last 8 from the field or something like that. But, you know, but I always love the, hey, you're going to hit a shot. The offense was bad, the whole thing. All right, let me ask you here in the back, anybody know what Wisconsin shooting numbers were at the end? And, of course, there isn't a single fan that knows. Wisconsin was 1 for its last 12 from the field in the game. So Penn State played well enough defensively to keep itself in it. But the game essentially was lost in the under 16 to under 12 area. They didn't get off to a great start to start the second half. They were a minus 3 in the opening 4, but they were minus 6 from the under 16 to the under 12. That's where they lost the lead and then put themselves in a position where they had to battle back, which eventually they did. They tied the game at 53. But you have to have the ability down the stretch. The last two possessions they had, they didn't get a shot. At Ohio State, Penn State, you know, Rajir Bolton, he missed the layup rolled off the rim. Okay, but you got a shot, and it was a good one. At Minnesota, turnaround jumper baseline from Lamar Stevens. By the way, very proficient at it. Okay, just missed about an inch to the right, but you got a shot. The last two possessions against Wisconsin didn't get a shot. And that's the part where the first one was the turnover and the Bolton pass to Lamar. There's a lot, you know, you really look at all five guys on the floor that enter into that, because it's not just a question of an entry pass there. There are options off of that you can run. And Rajir Bolton didn't put himself in a position to look at other options, which then brought up number two, and the fact that nobody else also didn't move to give him an option. Because Wisconsin did a really good job on that play. And so you get no shot out of that at all. In fact, you barely even get started with the play, so that's a crusher. Now you're down three. And look, and I've already told you where I feel Penn State didn't win the game. It was the under 16 to the under 12. Again, and you know me, I'm not going to sit there and look. We don't do the easy things on the show. Okay, the easy thing. Okay, we don't do the one thing you cannot do with the audience is you cannot treat the audience like it's the lowest common denominator. You can't do that. That's wrong. That's unfair to you. You're too smart to have somebody go, let's talk about the last shot. What happened? Look, we'll get to that. Okay, but when you're minus 600, you know, under 16, under 12, it gets the crowd back in it. Now you're fighting from behind, which Penn State did. They came back, tied the game. Got it. Okay? Got all that. But as I've talked about before, you can lose games in the first half. You can also lose games in other parts. The under 16, the other 12 is where losing then came into the equation for Penn State. Now let's get to the last play. Under the category of just flat out don't get it, there are only these are the only things that possibly can be called on that play at the end. It can either be a foul on Pritzel and two shots for Rajir Bolton. It can be a foul on Pritzel, and if you thought Bolton was shooting, three free throws, which could tie the game. Okay. Or it could be a flagrant one on Pritzel if you look at the replay and think that Pritzel hit Bolton's head. Or it's off, the ball hits Pritzel and is out of bounds, which it did. It can be any one of those four options. And by the way, I think Bolton then tries to shoot after the contact. I mean, I think he tried to throw the ball. So I would have discounted that. I mean, you can debate that. It can be any one of those four, and not one of those four was selected. The one thing it cannot be is off Bolton out of bounds and Wisconsin ball. That's the only one, okay, of the five, that's the only one it can't be. And that's the one that was picked. He's belted on the play. Wisconsin, by the way, is not trying to take a foul in that situation. How do I know that? Because on the way out, Dick Girardi and I ran into Justin Doherty and Greg Gard. And after exchanging some pleasantries, Dick then asked Greg, hey, he said, for a point of reference, were you trying to take a foul there? He said, well, he said, look, he got him, right? You know, he knows that. He says, but he said, our philosophy is that we don't want to take a foul there. He said, we feel like it brings losing into the equation. The Pritzel just plain fouled up on the play and hit him. You do get very concerned at this time of the year about the travel aspect of it. I think DJ is a very good official. I have always said very nice things about DJ, and I'll always continue to say very nice things about DJ. The problem, though, comes into the independent contract status, which I think they've, with the money they're bringing in right now, I think they have to consider the possibility, I'm not saying it's perfect, but the possibility of a change. When you officiate a game in Dayton on a Friday night, which, by the way, goes overtime between Dayton and Rhode Island before Dayton finally won. Dayton finally won? I think they did. Actually, no, Rhode Island won it. And then you have to go 450 miles to Madison for what is a noon Central Time game the next day. No offense, but you've got to bring at least the thought, just the thought of fatigue. At least bring it out there. Just at least think about it. If you're the head of officiating in the Big Ten, Rick Boyajis, you got to think about it. At least think, consider it. Look, DJ on ratings. DJ on ratings is one of the top 20 officials in the country, just on ratings, just so you know. It's not like it's, okay? But the issue is going to be this. The only day off he had last week was Monday. He officiated 8 games in 9 days. So we'll use him as an example because he's the guy that's there to make the call, but let's at least examine it. And these guys are independent contracts. They're trying to make as much money as possible. I don't blame them. I don't begrudge anybody trying to make as much money as possible. We all can't be in the lucrative world of digital media. So he did a game on Saturday the 23rd in Fairfax, Virginia. Sunday the 24th, he was in Ann Arbor. Monday he was off. Then Tuesday, DeKalb, Illinois. Wednesday, easy trip, West Lafayette, Indiana. Thursday, Oakland, Michigan. Friday, Dayton, Ohio. Saturday, Madison. Yesterday, he was in Poughkeepsie, New York. That is a lot of travel, a lot of hotels, and a lot of mileage. It's not the easiest. Why is the officiating usually better in the postseason? Number one, of course, you do, and DJ will advance in the tournament. He deserves to. I know a lot of people don't like or whatever. It's a part of the life of an official. But believe me, I've always been a big DJ Carstensen fan. Okay, and I'm only picking on him because he's the one that's the one staring at it at the time. But when you're working 8 days, when you're working 8 games in 9 days, and you are doing so, because he's done 75 games this year, and you're doing so in 7 different states. Okay? 8 games, 9 days, 7 different states. Yeah, that's right. He did 2 games in Michigan. So 7 different states. That's got to wear on somebody at some point. It's got to. I can't see how it can't. I don't know if anybody would go for this, whether they think it's too expensive. I don't know. But I wonder if it's possible to up the ante on how much officials get paid and lock them into your conference where they're only doing your games. Well, now you're reducing it to maybe 2-3 games a week instead of 6. I'm just asking. I mean, it's because, and now I'll go back to what I originally started by saying. Remember what I said at the beginning? At the beginning of this, I talked about why is the NCAA tournament normally well officiated. Well, a couple of reasons. Number one, you do have the cream of the crop. I got that. But number two, all right, you go to the first set of games, it is Thursday, and the next set is Saturday. Well, what happens? Oh, you stay in the same city the entire time with a day off. And then you don't come back if you're doing well. You don't come back again if you advance until a week later, where you're not doing any games. And a week later, you're back doing the same Thursday-Saturday thing if you advance. You're rested. Rob Riley did the game Saturday. Rob Riley has done fewer games. Well, he's actually done more games this season, 78. Rob Riley did the game Saturday. So, hey, he did not work Friday night. So he went Tuesday at Buffalo. He stayed in Buffalo for Wednesday, fine. Thursday he was in Fairfield, Connecticut. Day off to travel. Saturday he's at Madison. Yesterday he was in Hamden, Connecticut. Okay, and the last one is Lewis Garrison. Let me find Lewis Garrison here. These are, I've, you know, obviously we have access to stuff that other people don't have access to. Trying to look here. Lewis has got to be in the top 100 guys here. And Lewis is not a bad official. There's Lewis right there, 56. Okay. Lewis actually has done a rather... Okay. Saturday the 23rd of February, he was at Lincoln. Didn't go again till Wednesday when he was at Stony Brook in New York on Long Island. Then Thursday, ooh, man, he went Wednesday, Stony Brook, and then he flew out to Oklahoma, to Tulsa, for Oral Roberts in Nebraska, Omaha, but then had a day off Friday and did the game at Madison. That's the last game he's done. So he actually had a lot of time in between games. In fact, his spacing on games is actually pretty good. From February 1st, he worked back-to-back days one, two. Only twice in the last month has Garrison worked back-to-back games. So that's good. He's worked fewer games than the other two. He's worked 59 games. Hey, look, but you're an independent contract. Do I blame these guys for getting as many games as possible? Absolutely not. You know, when you're an independent contract, you know, you're trying to do whatever you can to get as much money as you can. Last year, let's go last year, top officials just on games. Number of games done last year. Keith Kimble was number one at 99 games last season. He did 99 games a year ago. Okay? It's more than anybody else. So he did 99 games. Roger Ayers did 97. This includes the NCAA tournament. Doug Sermons did 96. Mike Eads did 95. John Higgins did 96. Ron Groover, who made the ridiculous call against Lamar Stevens in the NC State game. That was bizarro world. Did 95 last year. Terry Oglesby was very good at 91. Teddy Valentine did 91. Jeffrey Anderson did 90, including the national championship game. Let's see. Michael Stevens was in the semifinal. Doug Sermons did the national championship game last year. Jeffrey Anderson did the national title game. And Terry Weimer. And my guess is Terry and Terry Oglesby will be two of the three referees for the Big Ten championship game. If I had to pick. So that's a lot of games to do. Ooh, Roger Ayers did 97 of them. But it's something to, I mean, now, how much money do you want to spend on this? That's the key. How much money do you want to spend? Because it's not just how much you spend. There's per diems and hotels and travel and so, you know, whatever. These guys have to do a lot of this. Is it possible to pay these guys enough money where they're reducing their schedule to three games a week and they're only doing your conference's games? It's just something to at least, I think it's worthy of a discussion point. This is not a ripping of the official point at all. It's just, let's have a good discussion about it. And is it possible to pay them enough money where they can reduce the number of games and potentially be better rested, especially at this time of the year? In postseason, you'll get probably, again, you do have the cream of the crop, but you're also better rested at this time of the year because you're getting rest. Yeah, obviously some of these guys will work NIT games. I mean, Pat Driscoll did the final last year with Penn State and Utah. So did Brian O'Connell, two really good officials. And as soon as they went out there, you're like, ah, Pat Driscoll, one of the best. I think Brian O'Connell's one of the best. And, yeah, you feel like, oh, okay. Yeah, because you have to work your way through to get to this point too. It's not, and Bill Cummington's not bad. Brian O'Connell does a lot of Big East. Pat's done some Big Ten, ACC, Big East. Bill Cummington is more of an ACC guy. They did the Big Ten championship game last year. All right, we will come back with more in a moment as we continue. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our good friends at Sunbury Motors and Purdy Insurance. When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you. The other guy's way or the SMC way? The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
For nearly 100 years, Purdy Insurance has been your locally owned, family-operated source for insurance products. With a staff of over 20 and partnerships with some of the industry's most trusted companies, Purdy has the experience and resources to get the job done. Whether you need personal, home, and auto, or complex business insurance solutions, Purdy will help you navigate through the process. Call today at 570-286-5855, or better yet, stop in their Sunbury office to see what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's have served this valley for decades, finding you the best product, auto, home, life, business, best price. And if there's a claim, they go to work for you as if it happened to them. Why? That's who they are. They are people that go out and get the job done, because customer service is absolutely number one to Purdy Insurance. Number one indeed, Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. All right. Great to have you with us on the show today. We are working our way through the week. We'll be here tomorrow, and then it is off to New Jersey for the show on Wednesday. We'll be back here Thursday, Friday, Monday, Tuesday, and then Wednesday in Chicago next week. So that's how the week is going to go. So, great to have you with us on the show today. We were talking a bit earlier about the officiating part. And the reason I wanted to, again, you want to bring it up for this reason. I wanted to bring it up just to let everybody know that, look, instead of just talking about a guy or a call or anything like that, you know, let's have an intelligent conversation about it. Hey, because I'll be honest with you, he's an official I like. Oh, I know, you know, obviously, oh, that guy never gives it. Yeah, right. Okay, let's not go down that route. You don't know him, I know him. And I think you got to be able to take whatever biases and put them aside. And you've got to take it beyond the simplistic conversation. There's too much talk show simplistic conversation on. Let's do the easy stuff, low-hanging fruit. Let's discuss real legitimate issues. All right, real legitimate issue is it possible to get these guys to do fewer games, pay them more money, and have them just locked in to being in your conference? Is that possible? And I don't know.
Yeah, that's been the talk in the NFL the past year or so, with so many head referees retiring over the past couple of seasons. They're just wondering, with this new flock coming in, maybe we should get them in full-time so they can go more full-bore into the rules, so we don't fall back and get in any controversial situations where, you know, their calls are questioned.
I know the NFL is using, what, more full-time guys? If you're a $15 billion industry like the NFL, shouldn't you be doing that?
With a goal of $25
billion. Right. But shouldn't you be doing that? Instead of having everybody look at you and go, oh, I don't get quite what the deal is. You know, remember how the strike turned out? You know, when the regular officials came back, everybody's like, hey, oh, it's awesome. It's great. They're back. Okay. I got it. So if you are a $15 billion industry like the NFL, shouldn't all your officials be on the payroll? In the integrity of your game is your lifeblood. If you don't have integrity in your games, what do you have? I'm not saying integrity is a problem here. But you know what I mean. Especially in this era now, where you've got to have control over a critical part of what you're doing here. College basketball has always been tricky. The college football is one game a week. That's one game a week. So since it's one game a week, you're okay. But college basketball is not that. Because college basketball is not a one-day-a-week proposition. you have to take maybe a different approach. I mean, you can put your officials exclusively under contract to you. The Big Ten officials are. Yeah, the Big Ten officials are. I mean, you know, because how many games are you going to be able to do? I mean, I realize they're in a consortium with the MAC, so there may be, if you have an overabundance, okay, I got that. And Bill Carollo runs both the MAC and the Big Ten. Thus, your ability to have officials. I mean, it's only one game a week. One day a week. Oh, yeah, you might have a Friday game. But you're not going to ask the guys on Friday to work Saturday. That's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But in basketball, as we mentioned, one official worked 8 games in 9 days in 7 different states. Now it becomes a legitimate conversation as to what you do with it. It becomes a little more settled with championship week coming up. A little more settled. And it's a little more settled when it comes to once the first week is over with, only the Power Five conferences essentially are going. Okay? But during the regular season, these guys, they work hard to be in great shape. They are, I mean, believe me, Rick Boyajis, a lot like Bill Carollo. Look, we've had them on the show. Right? We've had them on the show. And we've had them on the show to talk about how they do their work. The reason we've had them on the show as to how they do their work is quite simple. So that you and the audience can learn more about how they do things instead of just assuming and guessing and then having somebody, oh, you know, these guys don't care, when it's absolutely 180 of that. The last thing that any head of officiating wants is also the last thing any official wants. You don't want to be in a spot where people are looking at you saying you fouled up. Now, do you really think that an official sits there like, yeah, I got them good? You really think that? I mean, if you honestly think that, you're even more cynical than I believe. No official wants to be in a spot where all of a sudden they're being looked at. It's like, ugh. It's, you know, you want to be rehired, for one thing. Let's start with that. But it's an issue I've brought up many times in the past in doing this, about the number of games that are worked. They're independent contracts. I do not blame them for getting as many games as possible because they are trying to make as much money as possible. That I understand that completely. So do you take that worry off the table and have them be exclusively beholden to you instead of working various conferences? It's just, I think it's worthy of discussion. Maybe it's too much money. Maybe it is not realistic. Maybe you cannot get the better officials because they still want to be independent. I don't know. They don't have a union. But it's worthy of at least discussion. We'll pay you more money. We'll get, you know, we'll take that worry off the table. You'll do fewer games, but you'll make more money than you did last year. And not only that, you'll also be rested. I think it's at least worthy of a discussion. If it turns out that that's, you know, it's not based in reality? Okay, it's not based in reality. All right. Jim Delaney, we mentioned retiring at the end of his contract. He thought about leaving in 18, but they asked him to stay on an extra year, or extra 2 years. We'll talk about that in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK. All right, great to have you with us. Jim Delaney is going to retire when his contract is up, and that will be on the June 30th of 2020, so a little less than a year and a half to go before he steps down. I mean, who knows? In retirement, there'll be a lot of people asking him to consult. As I pointed out earlier in the show, I mean, you know, let's get the, you know, the elephant in the room off the table as quickly as possible, because there's no need to expand upon this unless you want to be totally, completely vindictive. How the Big Ten handled the Penn State situation in 2012 was wrong. So if you're wondering why they've handled other situations differently, they did. They also handled Penn State's entry into the Big Ten in 1989 wrong. If Penn State had been in Nebraska's position, it would have been different. Instead of being a 7-3 vote, just wasn't handled right. I mean, the fact Nebraska, Rutgers, and Maryland were all unanimous votes, and they're all unanimous votes because of the process with which they got them all into the conference. That's learning from the Penn State situation in 89. Penn State in 2012, look, I mean, like I said, the elephant in the room is, my personal opinion is, it was handled wrong from the conference point of view. Right, that off the table, the long list of things that I think Jim Delaney's done right is a very long list that's benefited the conference and it's benefited Penn State and college sports. He hasn't won every battle. He wanted very much to have only conference champions in the college football playoff. He did not win that battle. Fought it, didn't win it. He worked hard to get two in the BCS. It was extremely difficult to get two. I mean, now you have four. Just to get two. When we had Jim on the show about a year ago, remember I brought that up and I said, I know how hard you worked to get two, and he started laughing. In other words, that laugh was a recognition of, okay, so you do know it was hard. Yes. But you have what you have today because he understood you had to baby step this thing to get there. You had to go from nothing to two, and then two could become four. He understood that. Conference expansion with Penn State. Getting Nebraska in to get a Big Ten championship game. Getting the Big Ten tournament going in basketball. Expanding the footprint with Maryland Rutgers. It's interesting. Obviously, Maryland's been really good in basketball. Football, no. Rutgers hasn't been great in either, but now you have all those households in New Jersey carrying the Big Ten network, which means that the price per household triples because they're in the footprint. Triples. And negotiating-wise, you can say, yeah, we've got the New York metro area. You can argue, well, Penn State gives you that. Well, the reality is this. Yes, Penn State absolutely does give it to you. And there's no question. I mean, I've done a Penn State-Michigan game in Madison Square Garden, for goodness sakes. The number of Michigan alums, unbelievable. And they drew over 12,000 for that game. It was a 50-50 split, Penn State and Michigan. But you can't look at a network which is looking just at regions and say, well, Penn State, Michigan delivers that for us. They go, look at you, like, yeah, yeah, right, sure. Now, with Rutgers there, even though Rutgers is not a draw, Penn State and Michigan are bigger draws in New York than Rutgers is, but physically you can tell a network, and they say, yeah, you do. They're in your footprint. It's just the reality of it. So the expansion part of it. The bowl setup that he has, Rose Bowl being the prime, having the Citrus Bowl set up, having the Outback Bowl set up, having the Holiday Bowl. Now, you may see a bowl shuffling with the Big Ten on the horizon before Jim is done. You may see some differences. Honestly, if I had to pick a bowl that I would like to see, I really wanted the Holiday Bowl back in the rotation. It is. I'll tell you another one I'd really like to see back in is the Alamo Bowl. That was a great trip, San Antonio. I really wanted the Holiday Bowl back. They got it back. I'd like to see the Alamo Bowl. If I had to target one, that would be it. Because right now you have agreements with the Gator Bowl, okay. Music City Bowl in Nashville, okay. But he's done all of this. And the money, and now starting the Big Ten Network, you're about to watch the Big Ten Wrestling Championship on BTN. Guess what? No Jim Delaney, no Vision, no BTN, and you're fumbling around a device trying to watch it. BTN, TV deals. I mean, if you were to tell anybody you'd be making $50-plus million a year in media rights, bowls, things like that, if you were to say that 10, 15 years ago, everybody thought, you've got to be kidding me, really? But this guy's been able to negotiate that. He gets it. And it benefits everybody, including you, the fan.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.